Hey, welcome aboard. It is the trifecta. It's a different trifecta today. Connor Farrell in with me. Connor, you remember last time you and I were together?
I do remember. We had a big news story break.
City of Detroit went bankrupt. What's going to happen today, man?
I don't know. I feel like I've put the maloika on public affairs here. I'm hoping for something better this time.
It was great material, mind you. I mean, it really was, but it wasn't exactly the story we were thinking we were going to go with. And then, I don't think, Denny, you and I haven't done a show together in probably 12 years, have we?
It's every bit of that long, and it was early in the morning. I remember that.
In a previous Radio Life, Denny Cool in with us, too, today.
Jay, good to be with you.
Thank you.
Can I just say hello?
Yes, you can.
We've got some new listeners. Actually, they're old people, but they're new listeners. That are tuning in on the internet, WKZO.com.
Cool.
And they're located in Holland, Grand Ledge, Detroit, Los Angeles, and on Long Island in New York.
So, and you bring the crowd, don't you?
Hello. Hello to all of you.
That's awesome.
That's right.
All right. We've got lots to get to. There's breaking news in Syria, or out of Syria, shall I say, and we'll get you updated with that. I was going to use it as a pre-topic, guys, but there's actually another couple of small pieces we'll add to that. So let's do the national anthem first. Talk Syria coming up in seconds. It is the trifecta. So if you haven't been paying all that much attention, which it seems like if the last poll was correct, people have been paying more attention to Miley Cyrus and the twerking than they have Syria. It's a sad case. I know we've talked about it before.
Well, did you see that video that was going around the internet? Turned out to be an elaborate prank by Jimmy Kimmel.
I love that. The twerking prank.
Yeah, the
girl. I love his sense of humor. So if you haven't been paying attention, here's what came down today. In this entire situation with Syria. Now, the president has a speech 9 o'clock tonight, if I remember correctly, across the major networks. He wants to talk Syria. Yesterday, we had the conversation about, what does he have to say to get people, updated? What does he have to say to sway people to his side? Which, again, you're looking at doing some sort of a attack. Whether it would be, and boots on the ground was the term that they said that we wouldn't use, but obviously missiles and the rest. But every poll I've ever seen in the last 3 weeks on Syria has all said, don't. We don't want to get involved. So he was going to use that speech tonight for that angle. Now, earlier today, Russia got involved with this. Vladimir Putin went in, had a little conversation, said a little something. Which I don't know, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall just to find out exactly what was said.
That's right.
It was entertaining, if anything.
Yeah, I would have loved to have heard that discussion.
Here's what's going to happen, just so that you understand this. He came up with some sort of a proposal that said, hey, look, we would like you to stop doing this, and we'd like you to stop doing this now. And I'm probably paraphrasing, because I'm sure Putin was probably more blunt than me within all of this.
Yeah, it seems like he kind of said, what if, let's all put our guns down here. It's like high noon at the corral. And
you think he said that? I think he went an opposite way. He's like, hey, look, here's the situation. We could blow you off the map or you could just stop. What do you think?
I don't know. I think Putin kind of said, oh my gosh, our friends in Syria might get blown away if we don't do something. So what if we get them to give up their chemical weapons?
All right. So maybe, Connor, you're absolutely right. maybe that's exactly what Vladimir Putin said. And he gave it to the Syrians to say, okay, you guys figure it out. Let me know what you come back with. We'll give you 3 hours. Maybe it was a little more, but within 3 hours, Syria said, hey, you know that proposal you were speaking about? Yeah, I think we're going to do that. That sounds like a great idea. So now Syria says, hey, we'll accept their proposal. We'll place our chemical weapons under international control, and it'll be dismantled. So I guess, does that mean that the standoff is over? And I guess the latest piece to this, before we get to the question, and we'll kind of do the roundtable on that, the latest two pieces is now all of a sudden the country of Syria want in on this pact that they're not going to use chemical weapons anymore. And the bigger part of that is the president has called off the vote from the House and the Senate to get approval to actually attack Syria. I guess I have to ask then at that point in time, is there a big winner and a big loser within all of this? And is this the end of the standoff?
I think it remains to be seen. I think Obama's probably delaying the vote to see what Syria does. And if you heard what Secretary of State John Kerry had to say, he doesn't think that Syria will comply with this agreement or do it quickly. So I think Obama's still keeping the pressure on, saying, you know, we might still vote to attack you, keeping that credible threat of violence alive, really. That's my interpretation.
Yeah, and I think along with that, too, it's the old court of public opinion type thing. You know, if you follow polls, I don't personally, but if you follow them, more and more people are against any type of an attack. And I think, too, the way this whole thing has played out over the last couple of weeks, it kind of makes us look soft. You know, we boast the greatest military on earth. However, you know, there's been more discussion than actual planning, it seems like, over the last couple of weeks as to what is actually going to do. And the president's been right in the middle of all of it, and it's been a little surprising to me.
I wonder, you know, here is my thought. I mean, Vladimir Putin and the country of Russia, they kind of took our position, which is normally we're going to come in and we'll solve. Don't worry, we'll solve the problem. Come hell or high water, we'll solve the problem. And this is kind of a strange situation for us to be in, that Russia was able to walk in and solve this problem really without our help. And in fact, quite honestly, the less we actually added to this was probably for the best, if that makes any sense.
Sure. It does make sense. And I agree with you. And I think, you know, if anything that can be done diplomatically and also with the world uniting in some manner, I think that's a good thing. Absolutely.
I do too. But do they still need to do then some sort of a recourse for using chemical weapons? I mean, at some point in time, does something have to happen? And Connor, I mean, you don't think that the president looked soft in this?
I don't. I think he looks pretty savvy. I think he backed Russia into a corner, and they came up with a solution that they were willing to tolerate.
So you're thinking that before Vladimir Putin went to Syria and said, hey, look, fellas, here's the deal, you think that President Obama sat down with Vladimir Putin and said, hey, here's what we're going to do? Let me ask you this. Do you think the president had input in what Vladimir Putin was doing?
Input, probably not. I would say influence. I think Vladimir Putin probably went to the Syrians and said, hey, look, guys, you better get rid of these weapons or the Americans are going to bomb you. And we, the Russians, don't really want that to happen because of all the influence we have here. I think it's, you know, Syria's biggest allies are Russia and Iran. And I think we sort of force them to deal with their own problem as opposed to us taking direct unilateral action to solve it. I think we threatened to do it, and they came up with a solution.
So the threat was worth it?
Yeah, it seems to be. You know, if the Syrians give up their chemical weapons, I think that's...
It's a big if.
That's the big if. And, you know, we'll see what happens with the president's speech tonight.
I guess, what do you do? I mean, I would imagine that speech modified quite quickly throughout the day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Somebody bring me a speechwriter and don't let him out of the room until we do this thing at 9 o'clock.
Probably still writing it.
It's Bill Clinton-esque, as you know,
right.
The stories say that he's writing the speech on the way to the speech.
That's right.
You know, who's to say what may happen between, you know, now and when that speech happens? I just, again, I wonder, what you have to say now. I mean, the whole thing is a completely different objective. I mean, where I believe as of 24 hours ago, you were looking at, hey, look, I'm going to try to do what I do and have the American public understand why this is important for United States national interest, mm-hmm. which I still believe was going to be a hard sell for him anyway. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, there seems to be a push against getting involved in this in any way, shape, or form. And I think part of that becomes I don't believe that the president has made a really good argument to understand why it's important to get involved in Syria mm-hmm. for anyone.
Yeah, it's a difficult sell, and it seems to be there's a big moral argument, I would say, to do it. And the whole situation is so complicated. There are so many different minority groups in Syria and so many different national interests from a million different countries at play in Syria. It's really complicated. I'm looking forward to the president's speech tonight to learn a little more about what's going on.
Well, not to mention from the public standpoint, there's so many domestic issues that need to be addressed and really dealt with in a serious manner. And, you know, we're talking about a country half a world away. It's strange.
It's hard to wrap your brain around
that. It is. It really is.
You know, and the interesting part to me is the people, and this is where my political brain starts to kick in. The folks that were doves, let's just say 10 years ago, are suddenly hawks, uh-huh. and there are hawks that are doves, and, you know, trying to keep that all straight in your mind. It's like, wait a minute, how can you do this? This isn't your MO. The MO was, you know, your MO was, it was very well defined 10 years ago. It's now all of a sudden, it's ooey. Now we're waffling a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to, you know, how complicated the situation is. We've had a total change in attitudes about war and conflict in the last 10 years, really dramatically different opinions on both sides of the aisle.
It's interesting when you see, you know, hawk Democrats and dove yeah. Republicans, and crazy.
Politics makes for strange bedfellows.
Very strange in this particular case. All right, the president's on tonight at 9 o'clock. Well, sure, we'll break down that speech coming up tomorrow. All right, we've got plenty to get to, including the soap opera at the Kalamazoo Battle Creek International Airport. It continues. We'll have the latest in just minutes. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO. Oh, by the way, 96 right now.
Woo!
Ouch.
Friday.
Do you realize that, you know, today 96, Friday 66.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
You know, if you don't like the weather in Michigan, wait 5 minutes.
Especially that's in it. Fall. I know. What was the tweet that you just said from The Onion? I think that's funny.
Oh.
Connor, share that real quick.
Yeah, the Onion tweeted a fictional quote from the Lockheed Martin CEO that says, "Darn it, if this doesn't work out, John Kerry owes us $1 trillion. But I think it's Raytheon that makes those Tomahawk cruise missiles.
I think it is, yeah. Amazing. Well, I said we'll follow up and see what happens with Syria here in the next, you know, president's speech tonight and in the next couple of days. We'll tell if we're in a stand down mode or if this is all a sham. I mean, and it's possible that this is all PR mm-hmm. and this is all just politics thrown at the world to get off the case of Syria. And I guess we'll find. I guess we don't know yet.
Yeah, or maybe it's time to buy some Raytheon stock.
Well, yeah, could be. Or John Kerry be held responsible, according to The Onion. Anyway.
Well, they'll just have to sell more Heinz ketchup.
I mean, that's a good point. Kalamazoo Airport. Kalamazoo Battle Creek International Airport. You know, things have not gone well as of late. Just saying. You know, you think about the last 3 to 4 years, there was this beautiful terminal that's built. And it is. It's a gorgeous terminal. And then, of course, no more than, I think, 3 months later, one of the major carriers that was taking people from point A to point B, namely in the middle of winter from here in Kalamazoo down to places warm like Florida, decides to, well, go bankrupt and leave an empty couple of places there at that terminal and never been able to actually replace that. And then as of recent, the director, Cliff Moshe-Guinness, well, there's a complaint, a harassment complaint. It sounds like he is now on leave, which is the latest. Due to this complaint, it's almost It's almost, and if you've listened to the show at all, normally we end up having theme music and start naming topics if we start talking about them enough. This is almost to the point now where we have to come up with some sort of name for this Kalamazoo Battle Creek International Airport as a topic and have to have some theme music with it because it's getting to that point now where you're doing it just enough and all of a sudden there's another, well, here's another wrinkle. Well, here's another wrinkle. Well, here's another piece to this puzzle.
You're right. It's a beautiful airport. I hadn't been out there in a number of years, and I was out there about a month ago.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, picking up a friend who flew in, and I didn't even recognize the place. I mean, it was gorgeous. Absolutely.
So what's the deal? What's going on at the airport?
I said now you've got a harassment complaint, and now you've got the head of the airport that's going to be, well, probably, he's on leave. Will he be dismissed? I don't know, but all intel points to that. Maybe not, but all intel seems to point to that. Everything that I read seems to point to that.
Yeah, it's not a good sign when you're put on leave.
No, so then you're looking for a brand new director, and you're looking somebody to come in and fly out of your airport. I mean, eventually, do you do the Ron Kitchens plan? And have you heard the Ron Kitchens plan?
Maybe. What's
Ron
the plan?
Ron Kitchens from Southwest Michigan, one of the first times I talked to him about the airport, said, hey, look, let's just make it into a convention center and call it a day. What do we need an airport for? Can fly out of Grand Rapids. At some point in time, do you need to have that conversation?
You might need to have that conversation. You know who we should get on the phone is someone, a county commissioner, someone on the airport board.
Oh, I'm sure they would not like that idea at all.
Yeah, well, I'm going to call one, see if they'll call.
All right. I'll take that, Andy in Kalamazoo.
And these are the days of our airport.
I know. See? Where's that theme music? Where's Days of Our Lives theme music? We could use that. Works. It is pretty crazy, though, if you really get down to it.
It is. Yeah, it's something else. Boy, I tell you, if it's not one thing, it's another.
I didn't see this one coming. Thanks for the call, Andy. All right, you make the call. Let's see if we can get somebody to talk about this. More to come on the Trifecta. CBS News time now, 590 WKZO. When we last left on the Trifecta, we put Connor on a homework assignment.
Yeah, I tried to...
Anybody speaking about the airport?
No.
On the airport board?
Surprisingly, none of the county commissioners want to talk about the scandal at the airport.
Wait a minute. You're telling me no one wants to chime in?
No, they all suddenly have an important budget meeting.
Denny, can you believe that none of the people on the airport board want to chime in on this topic?
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there. I understand. I understand how that works.
We're busy. We're quoting fingers out.
That's
we're
right.
Really, really busy
right.
today.
That's right. That's
if you had
right.
called me yesterday, we could have had plenty of time to talk.
We
not
could have had
today.
Lunch and everything, that's but, right. you know, you're a day off.
That's
and
right. I'm busy.
That's right.
All right. Lisa in Portage.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment is that the new airport is absolutely beautiful.
No doubt.
And I'm glad that we have it. But, you know, way back when they were deciding to do that expansion, in my mind, I found it quite shocking that all the powers to be were on board with this beautiful airport. Fred Upton was going to help.
Congressman Upton was there,
you
bet.
Stuff. And the thing that was amazing is that when you looked in the detail, at the time they did that expansion, the airport traffic was less than what it had been 10 years ago. Because you got to remember, we had lost the Upjohn headquarters and a whole slew of business travel that went with it. And in my mind, they were talking about, oh, we have to do it. It's such an inefficient airport. My God, they've probably never flown out of Detroit then, because even under the old crappy airport, you could still get in there quicker and faster than you could any place else. And the problem that you have is when you do all that infrastructure like that, you've got to pass the cost on to somebody, which is the airlines. And then, of course, they pass it on to us by means of a ticket. But when you don't have the volume of people going through there, the airlines don't want to do business there and can't do it profitably, just like, you know, Direct Air goes bankrupt.
Right.
And now with you have Southwest Air coming into Grand Rapids,
yep.
which is a major discount. And so, you know, you kind of look at it, and I bet you could look at all the distinguished people in Kalamazoo. Yeah, we need this expansion. And I'm just wondering, to me, I just want a place that's close and cheap. And if they just would have kind of kept some of the old crappy stuff, maybe
would have been cheaper. Are you good with that? Well,
I
know what you're saying.
You have to pass the cost on to somebody when you have all the new, and it's fixed cost that's just sitting there now.
Look, I don't, and I hate to say this out loud. I've never flown out of Grand Rapids. I never have. I've always flown either out of Midway or Metro or Kalamazoo for any of my flights. And it just so happens, whichever is the cheapest, that's the flight I'm taking.
Yep.
And I include parking and gas and all the rest of that stuff. And sometimes it was cheaper to fly out of Midway. When Direct Air was flying to Florida, it was like, hey, look, this is fantastic. I can do this.
Yeah,
I'm at a point now where I can't get out of Kalamazoo. You know what? A 45-minute drive to Grand Rapids doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Well, I got to tell you, don't give up on Kalamazoo. Check the rates. I have found rates to Florida from American Airlines in March for $150.
And you can't.
One way. Out of Kalamazoo.
Yep, I know.
So you got to pay luggage. So,
yep.
But if we don't support the airport, there you're going to have more airlines backing out of there, and then it will be a convention center.
Well, and I said, you know, at some point in time, thank you for the call. At some point in time, you have to ask the question, do we need it? I mean, at some point in time, does the amount of use actually, you know, give you the idea that, hey, look, you very easily can go north?
Yeah, I think at some point you have to have that discussion. I think, you know, the Airport Authority Board and all the relevant government people should keep an eye on the level of traffic and whether or not we're getting the type of flights and carriers and passenger levels to make it a profitable airport. But it is big and nice and beautiful. I can't deny that.
I agree with that. All right, so I'm going to have Bob here in a second. Denny, if you can hit that button two more times over there, I can get Bob on the air then. There we go. Bobo, how are you? Oh, wait a minute. There you are.
You got me?
Yeah, I do. 96 right now, Bob.
Okay, 93 at the airport. We got our 90s.
Hey! And the shot group's pretty nice, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
This is, and I'm going to be blunt and ask the question. Is this the last of the 90s we're going to get?
Yes.
This is it. This is the grand finale, man.
We come close tomorrow, and you might get a 90 at the station thermometer, but I don't think we officially get one at the airport. This will be the last 90s throughout the area. Close call tomorrow.
All right.
And then we probably have to wait, you know, a little while.
All right. Normally what we do is we have you kind of encapsulate either a nowcast or a forecast into one single. It's a homework assignment for you.
Yeah.
One single solitary word. Sometimes you're very creative. Sometimes it's like Yonsville. Today, you've chosen...
Blowtorch.
Blowtorch. Yeah, it works.
Because it is hot, and there's also breezy. So you got that hot wind, that blowtorch effect. I wanted to use hair dryer, but that's actually two words. So
you could... Do you have to hyphenate? You could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have given you either.
Yeah, okay.
Either one works. Of course, for some, it's like, oh, I don't like this weather. This is just too hot for me.
Yeah.
I kind of dig
Who
this.
Who would say that?
I don't
besides
know.
Besides me.
And Jim.
Yeah.
And half the rest of the staff around here. Look, the only thing that you have to say is it's one day. You got a day and a half. By late tomorrow night, this kind of blows through.
Yeah, we're going to cool down a lot by the end of the week, but it kind of happens in stages. We drop to only 70 tonight. Tomorrow night it starts to cool down, maybe 65. It's still above average. And then Thursday's high in the upper 70s, which is probably still actually I'm expecting a little bit above average. You see, the average high right now is 75, 70, 76.
Okay.
So we get to 78 or 9 Thursday. It's still above average. But by Friday, yeah, that's when it's much cooler. Highs in the 60s and lows in the 40s.
Did you say 40s? Because my headphones just went out for a second there.
Oh,
okay.
How about that? It always cuts out at the most inappropriate time.
It does. I don't know what. These headphones are well trained.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
How about
Bob.
That?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Take it easy. 96 right now. I like this better than 66, which is what he's telling me we're looking forward to.
Just think February. You know how miserable that is, and you'll be cool.
That's when I want to get on a plane and head to Florida.
There
are
you
kidding
go.
Me?
There you go.
The way things are going at the airport, I'm not sure I'll be able to do that. I don't know.
You know, one thought I'd like to toss in, I think a lot of it, too, is perception that we think that it's going to be cheaper out of Grand Rapids or perhaps Detroit or Chicago. Like I said, a friend of mine came in a month ago and did some comparison shopping and found that coming from New York to Kalamazoo by way of Detroit with the connection was actually cheaper than going to Grand Rapids.
And you do have to shop it.
Right.
That was the nice part. You know, that was the nice part when you had something. And I, again, And I've talked to, you know, part of the reason why we bring this up is because you have the director, and it sounds like, for all intents and purposes, he'll be done as the director. I think they're just working out details. And,
right.
And again,
right.
I have a couple of facts to back that up, but it certainly sounds that way. It looks to be like that's what's going to happen here. But when you have, and I've had him on the show, and we've talked to him on several occasions, and look, I've had a lot of conversations about how difficult it actually is to bring an airline into a city. It's not like you can go out and just, it's not like a free agent,
right,
where you can go out and just back the bus up, and here's a whole bunch of money, and here, come play for us. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. It's
really difficult.
It is, and it comes down to availability.
It does.
And how busy you are.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly.
And a lot of
factors.
Price points and all the rest of this stuff,
right,
as to how you can actually go about doing all this. And that's why they've had, since Direct Air went bankrupt, a difficult time to get a mass carrier in there that will concentrate on something other than business travel. That's the hard part. You know, again, it was neat to be able to go in, even though it was an older, dumpier building. But you saw on a February or January or March Thursday flying out a whole bunch of young families,
mm-hmm,
you know, half dressed in shorts, half dressed in jeans, you know,
right,
short sleeve shirts, knowing full well where they were going. And you don't have that right now flying out of that airport. And until they can actually get something in there. And with a new director, maybe you have a new mentality. But until you can get that in there, this airport is not going to be a success.
Well, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. We get a
I don't know
new director, new perspective.
Well, and an overall game plan. It also goes along with the marketing aspect and all of that type of thing. And what airlines are you looking to bring in? And keeping it affordable. And I think that's a real key, to keep it affordable and make sure people understand that they're competitive in pricing.
Well, I said it does. You know, flying out of Metro is not a joy. Flying out of Midway is not a joy.
No, you're right.
You're driving there. It's pain.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the ability sometimes to save money that way, you'll do it. Or Grand Rapids, you'll do it. You certainly have the preference of being able to fly out of a place where you can be home in 10 minutes. There's something to be said about that, and it's kind of nice. So we'll see what happens and what happens next. But the soap opera does indeed continue. By the way, I have good news and bad news for the city of Detroit. That news, by the way, comes from the federal government. I'll give you... Hey, we'll share the news here in just a couple minutes. It is a trifecta, 590 WKZO. Trifecta, 590 WKZO, 96 degrees. In with me, Connor Farrell, Denny Cooley. My name is Jay. All right, so I have a opinion question to launch at you, Connor, and we don't have a ton of time, but do you think in the back of some of the city leaders in Detroit, do you think that they thought that the federal government was going to help them financially through this crisis? In the back of their minds?
Well, I'm sure they were hoping for it.
Do you really?
Oof, that's a tough question. I really don't know.
I think. I'm getting the idea that in the back of their minds, potentially, there was always that hanging out there that, okay, the federal government will come in and help us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they helped Chrysler. We'll be able. They helped General Motors. They'll help us. I think in the back of their minds, Denny, do you think that is the case, that in the back of their minds, maybe they thought, hey, look, the government would come in and maybe help save Detroit?
I think that is true. I can't think of another instance, unless I'm missing something, where the federal government actually saved a city as opposed to a corporation.
No, second biggest was Stockton. They didn't walk into that.
Right.
There's been
a
couple others in California, cities in California that have gone bankrupt. They haven't done that. But nothing in the magnitude, let's put it this way, nothing in the magnitude of Detroit.
No. And, you know, Detroit, I mean, the population has gone down drastically.
Yeah.
The unemployment, I mean, isn't even officially recorded. You know, I mean,
it's kind of sad.
It really is.
Yeah.
But the upside is you have a lot of these corporations like the Quicken Loans
yep.
guy, Dan Gilbert. You know, he owns the Cleveland mm-hmm. Cavaliers. He was on Morning Joe last week when they were broadcasting from the Ford Motor Plant. And said that they are going to be adding thousands of jobs downtown and a whole new business climate in the downtown area. in the coming year.
It's him, it's the Ilitches, and there's a couple other ones. Penske is another one, and they're all just dedicated into making Detroit into something, which again, it gives you some amount of hope within all of this.
It really does. Not to mention, there's a group out there, and I can't remember their name, that is tearing down dilapidated and abandoned neighborhoods to create more green space.
Yep.
And it's really been a nice project, and it looks wonderful. I mean, it really does.
Detroit News today, and actually quoted in here, is former Detroit Mayor Dennis Archer, which, by the way, as a sidebar, the man tried to do everything he possibly could to try to right the ship while he was there. And I think, and I'll put Dave Bing in that same kind of category. Two guys that really did try to do everything that they thought they needed to do to get it accomplished. And neither one were successful. In fact, Dennis Archer's like, look, people are crazy. I'm out of here. Anyway, he said, look, they had a meeting the Friday before Labor Day. And in the headline here, and this is where the good news, bad news piece comes in, federal government says they'll reach out to boost Detroit, but there's no bailout. The money isn't going to come from the federal government. It's going to end up coming from, and you mentioned him, the Dan Gilberts of the world, the Roger Penske's of the world, the Mike Ilitches of the world, which, by, you know, I don't know of a lot of people who have a bad thing to say about Mike Ilitch, only because you look at that 6-8 square block area by the Fox Theater and Comerica Park and the rest of the stuff. That's all him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's his vision, really, as to what Detroit should be like. And I think you're going to see it block by block and small neighborhood by small neighborhood and maybe even house by house for some sort of a resurgence. That's the only way to really do it. Because you never have the mass amount of money to be able to go, okay, our city is a shining city upon a hill again. It's just never going to happen. There's not that, you know, these folks will be able to do it in small doses and probably from the core out.
I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
We have an accident.
Okay.
It was phoned in just a moment ago.
Quick.
Two car accident blocking all lanes at the intersection of Westnage and White's Road. So try to avoid that area as you're heading home from your busy day at work. Again, two-car accident. Law enforcement authorities and rescue people are on their way right now and are just arriving on the scene. So,
Westnage and Whites.
Be advised. Right.
That's a nasty corner to be at.
It is.
Especially 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. We'll keep you updated on that accident. Also, more to come after 4 o'clock. We want to talk a little bit about one of my favorite topics. Connor's in on this one, too. And I think Denny is. We'll talk beer. Michigan Microbrews, they want something. They want to change something. And we'll talk a little bit about what they want to change here coming up after 4 o'clock. Also, we've got to get into the names that are there now as the battle for the Kalamazoo City manager does indeed continue. I'm picturing this much like Survivor as you start voting people off the island. You know, do it like they do The Voice. I mean, you know, come up, give your speech. Nah, it's...
But without the snakes.
Yes, indeed, without the snakes.
That's right.
All of that on the way after 4 o'clock on 590 WKZO. It is the trifecta.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.